A democracy which makes or even effectively prepares for modern scientific war must necessarily cease to be democratic. No government can be really well prepared for modern war unless it is governed by a tyrant at the head of a highly trained and perfectly obedient bureaucracy. And that quote comes from Aldous Huxley. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And we certainly do not seem to be living in anything that may even remotely be construed as democratic these days, folks, especially here in Australia. Of course, now is the 1st of June, so that gives us 30 days until we see a massive increase in the cost of living in this country as Der Fuhrer, Frau Gillard, rolls out her tax on life, her tax on breathing, the carbon tax that nobody wants and nobody needs that is about to be rolled out and imposed upon the people of the country, and the tyrannical government of Frau Gillard through the mechanism of the ACCC has already released a statement to say that anybody who speaks out against the carbon tax or claims that it has raised the cost of living may be subject to hefty fines. Though, of course, it has been seen that the carbon tax will effectively raise the cost of living by at least 300% by 2017. And this is according to the government's own figures, folks. And also bear in mind, folks, that Julia Gillard has just given every Australian like $200 or $300 or something like that in order to compensate or offset the imposition of the carbon tax. One might, of course, question why she gave people a little bit of extra money to offset the carbon tax if the carbon tax was not set to raise the cost of living significantly. So a little bit of a double standard there, folks. And, of course, double standards such as this are very much what we've come to expect from the corrupt governments that are currently in charge of our poor little planet. And this can very clearly be exemplified by the actions of Julia Gillard in giving this bonus to the people in order to offset the rise in the cost of living that she claims is not going to happen. So you can see, folks, she's kind of on both sides of the fence with this issue. It's jiu-jitsu, really. But still, the people are being told that it will not affect the cost of living, and that if they are to say that it will, then they are to be fined. And this is happening through guidelines that are being put in place that state that if you happen to work for a business and you say, well, the cost of our production has gone up now due to carbon tax, then you will be investigated and face up to $1.1 million fine, I believe. And so that's very interesting, folks. A nice ban there on free speech in the country. Should any person tell the truth about the carbon tax, they can expect to receive the wrath of the government. And if there was ever any doubt in anybody's mind about how corrupt the Australian government actually is and how corrupt the Gillard regime actually is, then there's your evidence, folks. It's right there in a statement made by the ACCC about a week ago. And I actually have a link to the news article discussing that on the Crow House homepage. Just in case anybody doubts the blatancy of the fascism that is erupting in this country. Because there really need be no doubt, folks, because it's right there for all to see. And of course, folks, the carbon tax is being imposed upon the people under the pretense of protecting the environment when, of course, we're all carbon-based life forms. And carbon is one of the building blocks of life. And, of course, the federal government is doing absolutely nothing to protect the environment, which can be clearly demonstrated by the fact of the amount of coal seam gas mining that's being rolled out across the country, which is absolutely destroying the environment in which we live. We've got a creek, actually, in a place called Chinchilla in Queensland, which is now bubbling methane along 5 kilometres of its length on one side of the shore. And this is, of course, a result of the coal seam gas mining that's happening in the area. Chinchilla is one of the biggest areas of coal seam gas mining in the country. We've got the psychopathic lunatic who is in charge of the environment in New South Wales, a man called Chris Hartcher, who is also promoting coal seam gas mining and giving the go-ahead for gas companies in the country, and has also suggested a piece of legislation which would provide certainty of terms, making it impossible for people to have any legal recourse whatsoever against the environmentally dangerous and terrorist actions of the New South Wales government. And I call them terrorists, folks, because of what the true definition of terrorism is. And really, folks, what's being used against the people in order to roll out this corporate agenda is terrorism. It's domestic terrorism that's been carried out by police against the people at the will of the government. And this can be clearly seen by simply understanding what the true definition of terrorism is. And as I've said many times on the show before, in the Oxford English Dictionary, terrorism is defined as violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often for political reasons. And this is exactly what the police are doing against the people. They are using violence in order to coerce people into compliance in order to further a political agenda, namely the strip mining of the planet, the destruction of the water table, and the blatant theft of all of the country's resources from the hands of the people, who are the true owners of the country. If anybody owns the country, it's the people, because this is supposed to be a democratic nation, and all the people within the nation are supposed to be sovereign. And this is just what our government has planned for the people. It's what our government has planned for the future. And so it's very important that people pay attention. And it's important that people pay attention because all of their assets are being stolen, all the resources are being stolen, and it's being rolled out right across the board, folks. So don't think that Australia is any safer than any other country, because due to the actions of our corrupt government, it is getting just as bad as everywhere else on the planet. And they're working very hard to ensure that this only escalates, folks. And of course, it will continue to do so until the people of the country decide to stand up and do something about it. And of course, this won't happen until people start to remember who and what they are and where the government actually sits in the food chain, which is as the servant of the people rather than the rulers of the people. And of course, folks, the actions of the government are providing us with the opportunity that we need to come into this realization, and it is my great hope that people embrace this opportunity rather than simply lock themselves away in their little bubbles of love and light and believe that they can change the world simply by changing their energetic state and ignoring what's going on around them, which is completely untrue. I mean, it's all about energy, and they can change the world by changing their energetic state, but only if they apply that energy to the world in which they live. Because it's only through practical application that anything will ever change. And people really do ignore what's going on around them at their peril. And really, folks, it's also very irresponsible of people to ignore the global situation and to ignore the political situation. It's very irresponsible to ignore the police state that's been created around you, because all such people are actually doing are freeloading on their children and freeloading on their grandchildren. Because we are the custodians of life and the custodians of freedom on this planet, and life, liberty, and freedom is being taken from the people due entirely to the conscious choice many people are making to ignore the situation around them and shut themselves off from the outside world in the mistaken belief that if they put their head in the sand, the danger will simply go away. This, of course, is the ostrich theory that is based entirely upon fear and is perhaps the most dangerous and most irresponsible approach that anybody can apply to any situation. And as I said, folks, when all's said and done, all these people are really doing is freeloading on their grandkids. And look, let me be clear about all the stuff that I'm saying here, folks. I keep saying to you people when I tell you all this stuff and I bring all this information to you and offer my perspective to you, I say to you, look, we don't need violent revolution. And we don't need violent revolution. All we need to do is apply ourselves to the world around us and stand up for what's right. We don't need to have violence in the streets. All we need to do is live our lives properly and respect the people around us and stand up to injustice when we see it. We need to have voices in the public arena, absolutely. I mean, I've been challenging any of the ministers of this country to a debate. I remember saying on Sydney Breakfast Radio last year that I'm willing to debate any of the ministers on any of the topics that I talk about on the show. But of course, no one will take up the debate, but you can go out and you can speak publicly about these issues. You can have town meetings. You can have group gatherings and just talk about this stuff with people and realize that we can change the direction the world's going in, and all we're really asking for is accountability from government. We can see where the problem lies. The problem is that these governments stand in breach of natural law. They stand in breach of common law. They stand in breach of the trust that's been granted to them by the people over which they govern. They've written legislation in order to cover up their actions and to free themselves from prosecution, but really it's just stuff that they made up to protect themselves and to impose their will upon the people. That's all government legislation is. So we need to hold these people accountable under common law and natural law and put honest people in their place who will uphold common and natural law. Even if it's a group of elders, whatever we work out as government, we can still have a system with the infrastructure that we've got, but we need honesty and accountability in the system, and we simply don't have that in our government system because of legislation that the governments themselves have enacted to cover up their activities and to cover up their breaches of common and natural law. And this system has enabled these governments to basically milk all the resources they can out of all of the countries that they've been able to control. And that's exactly what's happening in Australia. We are having all of our resources taken from us, and none of the commonwealth of the country is being passed down to the people. And now, some of the industries that these governments are promoting, such as coal seam gas mining, are simply the willful destruction of the environment in order for economic gain. That's all coal seam gas mining is. We do not need gas to meet our energy needs at all, because there are much better ways of getting energy. For instance, the energy device that I hopefully brought to your attention near the close of my recent film Transformation, the energy device by Justin Hall Tipping, which literally extracts energy from light using a carbon-based polymer. So there are far better ways and far better technologies that already exist that we could be readily using to meet our energy needs and effectively have free energy created ourselves where we are. And the government knows this, folks. I mean, if I know this, I'm sitting here in Byron Bay in a one-room cabin. So you can't tell me the government doesn't know this. So that's the thing. You've really got to put it into perspective and understand that we have much better ways of gathering and harvesting energy than what we are currently using. So therefore, we do not need to be extracting gas to meet our energy needs. As I said, the government knows this, so you have to ask then, what is the real purpose behind coal seam gas mining? And what is the one guaranteed result we're seeing everywhere this occurs? We're seeing a destabilization of the Earth's crust, we're seeing earthquakes, and we're seeing a destruction of the water table. So that's what coal seam gas mining is about. This is Agenda 21, folks. That's what it is. It's not about harvesting gas. It's about destroying farmland. It's about destroying the water table and the aquifers. It's about pushing people into concentrated pockets of civilization. And it's about depopulation. That's all coal seam gas mining is doing, because that is the only possible, inevitable result. And all this is being done in order to support an economy, and the people who are working within the system, a lot of these people are good people. They're just doing so because they need the income, because they've been trained to believe the economy is real. And yet all the economic system does is destroy everything around it. People are expendable, the planet becomes expendable, the forests, the resources, everything becomes expendable in order to support an economy that only exists on paper. A fictional system. A fictional system that's very existence can only ever ensure the ultimate demise and destruction and discarding of all life on the planet in order to support itself. That's what we have here, folks. And the reason this system continues to exist is simply because no one stands up and ever says anything about it. Well, a few people do. There are a lot of public speakers that are saying things now. But on the whole, in regard to the general population, people just go along with it and they give it the energy it needs to survive, rather than questioning whether what they are doing is right, whether what they are doing is true and honourable and upholds natural law. And this is what's been taken from us by our governments, and this is what needs to be put back in place, and this is the way mankind needs to start thinking about these issues, because we will never have accountability from government when government are the ones who create the rules. The rules have to be based in natural law, they have to be based in common unity, they have to be based in empathy. And that's the direction mankind needs to be taking this earth in, because if we do not do this, we simply won't survive what's coming. And it's imperative that we begin to take notice of this, folks, because a storm is indeed coming, and it's not going to be very pleasant if we choose to ignore it. And I believe we have an enormous opportunity to deal with it right now. And I think we also have the responsibility to do so, and to do so properly, and to do so honorably, and to do so from the correct energetic state. But people really do have to be proactive in these areas. People really do have to start getting information out to people and going to town meetings and council meetings and talking to these people and putting ideas on the table. But doing so because it's the right thing to do. Ultimately, that's the purpose behind it all, folks. It's not to be judgmental. It's not to be attacking. It's not to be violent. It's simply doing the right thing and to stand in natural law and make sure that natural law is not removed from this planet, because that's what's happening. And let's face it, folks, there's a lot of people who now know what's going on around the place. The word's getting out to people, folks. And there are a lot of people who know what's going on, but there are still very few people who are applying themselves to reality. A lot of people are continuing to follow others down blind alleys, waiting for mass arrests, waiting for the Pleiadians to come, waiting for December to see if the world's going to change, and being led down rabbit holes by people and continuing to look for someone to point the finger at in the belief that reality is like some kind of spy novel, and as soon as they find out who done it, then the mystery will be solved, rather than seeing what the solutions are and focusing on the solutions and implementing the solutions, knowing that by doing so, who they are will be exposed by default. And all of these things, folks, they're all designed ultimately to prevent people from acting, to prevent people from connecting with the people around them, and to prevent them from ever taking any positive steps or implementing any positive action to effect some real change. It's all designed to externalize everything and remove the power that exists within yourself, to keep you looking for the answer from an external source and to continue believing that someone is going to save you. The White Knights are coming on their chargers and they're going to have golden swords and they're going to chop the heads off the elite and everybody's going to be saved and suddenly we'll have a golden age where everyone will have free energy and you don't have to apply yourself to any of it. Just sit there and stay at home and don't make any noise and you will be saved. That's what is being presented to people. And this is coming from all avenues and all aspects. It's coming from the alternative research community. There's been a huge infiltration into the alternative research community of New Age thinking and all of this stuff that is designed to prevent people from acting. We've got the religions telling people that the Savior is going to come and save them, that it's got to get worse, don't do anything, eventually you will be saved. And it just comes from all avenues, folks. And meanwhile, the world is getting slowly taken from the people. The people are undergoing a genetic alteration of the species and all life on the planet, and nobody's doing anything about it because everybody's just waiting to be saved. And folks, you know, I hate to rain on people's parade by saying all this sort of stuff, but this is really what's going on. And even in the alternate research community, a lot of the people who are presenting information to others really aren't presenting solutions to them. And I really believe solutions are what we need to focus on, because we can sit here and scream and cry wolf and point the finger as much as we want. But unless we are implementing positive solutions ourselves and talking to people and getting the message out, then really we're not doing much at all. And I really believe that those who have this type of information and who understand how the world is run ultimately have a responsibility to pass that information on to others, because those who know have a responsibility to act. And I truly do believe that one of the most important and most empowering things we can do is to understand the power of community and to understand what we could really accomplish if we had a united community that was prepared to stand in natural law, prepared to do what was right, and to not back down if those people that we elect as servants claim that they've written rules on pieces of paper which give them the ability to steal from us. I mean, we can't back down to this type of stuff, and we can't allow these people to get away with what they're doing. And the only way to stop it from happening is through peaceful non-compliance. But we need the strength of numbers. And so it's important to everybody who listens to these shows and who listens to the many other people out there who are attempting to bring information to you, it's important that you talk to people in your community. It's important that if you hear radio shows that you really think do it for you and you really think hits the spot and may be able to be used to wake up somebody else, it's important that you download that radio show and play it to your neighbours and play it to the people who you believe may listen, because we very much do need to create a wave of consciousness, and it is happening. There is a wave of consciousness overtaking the planet. The sheer amount of people that are now talking about this stuff shows how much this wave of consciousness is happening. But we need it to be in the minds of everybody, so that when we are in situations where people are forced to stand up against the system, the whole community stands up and supports them. Because that's the only way we will really achieve anything, folks, is through the strength of numbers. People have to drop their fear of who and what they are. They have to drop their fear of standing up against repression and against tyranny, their fear of doing the right thing in all that they do. And people very much need to start respecting those around them. It's so important that we do this. I really do believe, and I've often said, that empathy needs to be the base foundation stone of this entire reality. I truly do believe this, folks. Empathy is the most valuable tool we have to change this reality. We just have to apply ourselves to it. And empathy is why I always talk about forgiveness. I really don't hate anybody, folks. I get extremely angry with the actions of people like the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and all these people who are doing all these terrible things, but I forgive them. I don't care what anybody did. I just want to take this consciousness forward. I just want to take mankind to a better place than what it is now. And I flatly refuse to become that which I fight. I flatly refuse to become that which I am so staunchly outspoken against. I will not become violence. I will not become oppression, not even against those who have oppressed me, because that's simply not who I am. I can understand that if things don't change in a non-violent way soon, there will be certain factions that will be pushed to the extent where they will react violently, and we will see violent revolution across the planet. I mean, we're seeing this sort of stuff already. We're seeing huge rebellions taking place in Iceland and Greece, and we're seeing a breaking away of the global system in these countries, and I have no doubt that we will see that in many countries to come yet, and there are cases where that breakaway will probably be achieved first through violence against the government. I don't agree with that. I don't think it's the way to go, but it is unfortunately inevitable if peaceful revolution is made impossible. Even JFK said, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, then violent revolution becomes inevitable. And never were truer words spoken, folks, but I still do believe we have a great many opportunities before us that can be used for us to still peacefully emancipate ourselves from this system. I still don't think violence is the best option in anything that we face in our Western countries. I believe we can do it through much more constructive means and much more beneficial means. I really do believe that every person is valid, folks, and no matter how disjointed and psychopathic they are still part of the consciousness, and I still wish them no harm. Because I'm not psychopathic. I'm not sociopathic. I have a regard for all life, no matter how disjointed and lost and devoid of true understandings of reality that life may be. I just have a reverence for life, and that's just who I am. And yeah, folks, I can understand why people get angry, and I can understand why people very often wish to channel that anger into violence. Many people have suffered greatly at the hands of those who currently control this planet, and many people seek vengeance because, well, it's a common reaction, and it's very much the way people have been trained to think as well. I mean, this is what you see on all the television shows, isn't it? If you see someone wronged on television, then vengeance is exacted by the hero of the movie. And don't we all feel good when that happens, when we see the hero of the film go out and take the life of the bad guy? We always cheer for that loss of life, when really it's not how to solve the problem, I don't think. I think there are much better ways. But hey, look, like I said, I can understand how some people simply don't have any other means at their disposal to express themselves and may wish to resort to violence. But personally, that's not what I do. Personally, that's not who I am. And personally, I don't believe that's the true solution to any of these problems. I don't think that violence should be met with violence. I think violence should be met with compassion and forgiveness. Because, as I said, folks, that's just who I am. And that doesn't mean I will roll over on command or take a backward step to someone who's threatening me. I will, of course, fight back if anybody ever does threaten me. But I won't ever convert that to me becoming the attacker. I'll only ever exert as much force as is necessary to repel the attack that's been forced against me. But I think we're at break time now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you very much for joining me on the show today and putting up with my meanderings, and I'll be back in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, one of the real problems that we seem to be facing in the world today really seems to be the people. And it's not that the people are the problem, it's that the people know what the problems are, or many people know what the problems are, but they don't know what to do with the information. Now that they're awake, they think, well, what can I do? How can I change the world? And as I've often said on the show, the real key is community, because if you've got community, you can stand up and address these issues. Imagine if you were to go to a council meeting or some meeting, whenever there's going to be something of importance going on in your town to do with administration of the town, you go to that meeting and you stand up and you ask the hard questions while you're there. Now, some people may look at you like you're a fruitcake because you've done this, but if you've first gone out there and gotten yourself involved in the community, gotten yourself involved in the local markets, gotten yourself involved with your neighbours, you've taken cakes to them and biscuits and things that you've made, and you've invited them over for a cup of coffee, and you've talked to these people and got to know them, and you've spread yourself out around your community, but you've always been polite in doing so. You've never imposed yourself upon people. You've never encroached on their space. You've simply treated them with respect and kindness. All the people that you've interacted with are going to know that you're a nice person. They're going to know that you're real. They're going to know that you're intelligent. They're going to know that you're a pleasure to be around and you're a pillar of the community. And so when you stand up at these council meetings, if these people are there, they're going to support you in what you do. And if you're able to bring things into the conversation when you're talking to these people, look, there's an issue going on here with the fluoridation of the water. They're having a council meeting about it next Tuesday. I think it's a really important issue and we should go. I intend to go there and ask some questions. Would you like to come along and just offer me some moral support so I can do this? Because it's important that we do this for our children. Now, you present it to people in these sorts of ways and you start getting involved in the administration of your local community. And again, folks, if you're just someone on your own going there and asking questions, they're going to look at you like you're a lone nut or a troublemaker. But if you've already established ties in your community before you do so, then that gives you a voice. You see, if you know what's going on in the world and you choose to assume the position of spokesperson within your community, people will soon grant you that permission if you are a good spokesperson, if you are honest, and if you have the integrity that you have presented to people. And it's important that you do. Don't just get up there and be the one with the slickest tongue. I mean, that's what the psychopaths do, and that's how they become politicians. And that's where they go with that. Don't get up there and make promises you can't keep, but get to know your community and be that person. Lead by example in all that you do. And you see, this is how you start ripples in your community. This is how you start to take things in a different direction. I mean, even the people who are working hard and too tired and don't really want to listen, you can still kind of get to know them on the weekend and just let them know what you're doing and let them know that you're doing it because you believe that community is facing some real issues here at the hands of our government, and we need to get involved because we owe it to our children to be good custodians of the place. And just try to present things to people in this way and become that person within your local community. And that's a really good step. And it's also a really good way to get to know people. And it's a good way to give the people around you some hope and some confidence. And it gives them a goal to strive for as well. Now they've finally got something decent to support and something that they are going to benefit from. Something the whole community is going to benefit from. So it affects them on that personal level as well. And they get something for themselves, and they also get something for the whole community. And the fact that they are involved in that and they made that happen is a very, very empowering thing for people. So I think that sort of approach is a good start within your community anyway. I've always found that rather than screaming fear and pointing the finger at the government, I kind of joke about them and call them little pet names and illustrate to the people how ridiculous the actions of the government are and how much fun it would be to just do completely the opposite and actually do what is right and show them what is right, because we seem to have forgotten that they're actually our servants and we don't have to do what they say. I mean, I kind of have this approach with people. I mean, it's kind of like the Emperor's New Clothes syndrome. You're using it back on them, you know. And I just kind of laugh at the government because, I mean, you can just treat them like a bunch of bumbling fools, folks, because if you look at the way they present themselves to the public through the media, they just come across as a bunch of bumbling fools, and so you can present them that way to the people. And, of course, behind that bumbling fool facade, you have a group of very cold and very calculating psychopathic minds, and so that's something that you need to take into account, though you might not want to tell that to people straight away. You need to let people discover these things for themselves. Otherwise, you might just freak them out a little bit. But, you know, we can change society by simply pointing out the stupidities of our society to people around us, and from leading by example in all that we do, and by going and questioning these so-called leaders at their town and council gatherings, going and making our presence known, getting involved in your community. But doing it from the right energetic state. Don't go in and attack these people. Just go in and point out the obvious to them. And that's a great start. And folks, of course, you've got to understand who you're dealing with and what sort of people that you're dealing with when you go to these council meetings and things. A lot of people will go to these meetings and they are instantly opposed to the people there. They go and they see the mayor of the town as some evil entity or something. But very often around the low levels of social administration, such as council members, local mayors, all this sort of stuff, a lot of these people and the people that work within those organizations are not bad people. They're just people who are locked into a left-brain reality. They're people who believe the meme that enslaved society is real, and they are working within those parameters. They are simply applying their understanding of how reality works to their job, and they are focused on their job, and their job is compartmentalized. They don't know what the other guys within their organization are doing. They only know what they're doing. So it's all kept compartmentalized, and they're trained to believe that success is making your compartment more efficient. That's what life is all about. So we have this system. I mean, I've gone through all this on other shows before. We have a system that continually makes itself more efficient due to the actions of the people who work within the system, because they've been trained to act that way. And they've been trained to believe that that's what success is. That's what business success and social success is. And how high you climb on the social or corporate rungs depends wholly upon your ability to make your compartment more efficient. This is how it works. So the system, the mean that enslaves society, continually makes itself more efficient. So you can't go in and attack these people. You've got to try to crack the eggshell by leading by example yourself and going in and asking the hard questions, being kind, being logical, being rational, and always talking to the human being within the uniform, never talking to the uniform. When you're talking to the mayor, you're not talking to the office of mayor, you're talking to the human being, man, that is within that uniform, or woman, whatever it is. You're speaking to the person, the individual, the reflection of yourself. There is no difference between you and this other person. You're both human beings. And so you're treating each other with that respect, even if they're not treating you with the respect that you deserve because they are a slave to their office and they believe it gives them more status. You can soon knock them off that little perch by using their first name when you're addressing them and always remaining calm and always remaining logical, rational, and respectful. You'd be surprised how much those attitudes can work to break down the barriers that people put up against you when you try to talk to them. It really is surprising, folks. But if you go in there on the attack, very often the walls come up, the claws come out, people lock themselves off straight away, and they're simply not approachable. But if you talk to the human being, the person, the man, and you talk to the essence of that person, the sentient spark that gives them life, you communicate to that spark with yours, very often you can cause these people to change their perspective and start thinking about things a little bit differently. And this is what we need. We need these ripples at the ground level in our councils and in our structures around our neighbourhood and our local businesses and all of this sort of stuff. It's no good trying to go and approach the president or go and approach the prime minister or go and approach the governor of your state. You have to approach the people on the lower levels and crack those shells as well. But very often you'll find that a lot of them are psychopaths as well. I mean, these sorts of businesses attract psychopaths. That's the thing. We've had a huge rise in psychopaths within our society because of this psychopathic system that society is enslaved to. But there are good people within council. There are good people within the police force. There are good people in all of these institutions. And it's great when you can find those people. But essentially, if you're going to approach anything from a political point of view at all, those are the people that you need to be approaching. It's no good talking to the leaders, because those people are already well established as psychopaths. Otherwise, they wouldn't be leaders. They wouldn't have ever been allowed to obtain the positions of power that they currently hold, because that's the way the system works. And within a system such as the one that currently enslaves us, it is only those people who are able to think extremely pathologically that can ever get to those positions of power. And this can be clearly illustrated, folks, just by looking at their actions. Look at the complete disregard these people have for the people of their nation and for the environment. Look at the Minister for Environment in New South Wales saying that coal seam gas can basically have open slather across the state. I mean, a normal mind doesn't work this way. This is obviously a psychopathic mind. And so it's a waste of time approaching these people. What you have to do is talk to the people on the lower levels. But again, you've got to have this community with you. So you've got to be creating these ripples in your community. I mean, I really believe, folks, that the key to everything is to lead by example. I really do. I think that if you have a kind heart and a genuine heart and you genuinely care and respect the people around you, all you have to do is walk that talk and live that life, and the world changes around you. I mean, I've found that that's what has worked for me anyway. And folks, if you do start going to council meetings and you start going and addressing some of these issues in your local community, the most important thing for you to do is to treat every issue from a perspective of trust. The government really needs to know that you know that the government are simply the trustees of the nation. They hold the nation in trust for the people. And that if their actions are things that the people disagree with, then the people have the right to hold the government to accountability. Then be polite and be logical and be respectful in all your actions, but don't ever let things slip out of trust. Always know who and what you are, and know that the people you are addressing are your employees. And what you are doing there is you are treating the actions that they're doing as a breach of trust, if it's things such as coal seam gas mining. It has to be looked at from that perspective, folks. And actually, even the Prime Minister of Australia, even when she gave out the $300 that she gave to everybody last week, she said that she's doing this because the people of the country need to get something back, because she knows that the government are simply holding the nation in trust for the sovereign people. This is actually what she said in her speech. And I'll find a link to that, actually, and I'll put that on the Crow House for you to listen to. She literally says this, folks, that the government holds the country in trust for the sovereign people. So they know what's going on, folks. And all of these statements, I mean, you don't hear prime ministers making statements like this, and this is damage control, because the government is fast becoming exposed as the tyrannical dictatorship that it actually is. And in that statement, I believe that the government themselves are letting us know that there is a way out if we choose to exercise our rights and hold our governments accountable for their breaches of trust. So that's the perspective you need to be in when you go and talk to these people and you go to these council meetings. You're not there to be a troublemaker. You're not there to petition them. You're there as one of the sovereign people of this nation, and you are there to address the matter of breaches of trust. But you're doing it from a human perspective. You're not doing it from a legal perspective. You're there simply talking to people. You're talking to your employees, and you're a kind and just and respectful employer. And so you will treat your employees in this way. And that's the way you need to approach things, folks. And I think that if people did approach matters such as coal seam gas mining and all the other issues that we face from this perspective, we could really, really affect some positive change. But in order to even be in this state and to look at things from this perspective, you have to know who and what you are. You've got to know you are a sovereign being under God, that you are free, and the government are your employees. This is why I keep saying to people, there's no piece of paper you can wave around to establish your freedom. If you don't know that you're free, and you don't know who you are, and you don't know that the government are simply the trustees of your country, then you really aren't standing in the right spot to begin with. Because if you're not aware of all that and you can't stand in that, then you will never be able to approach the system from the correct way. You have to show that you're competent. And if you don't know all this, then you're perceived by the system as not being competent and not being fit to run your own life. You have to know this stuff in order to be perceived as competent by them. And once you are perceived as competent, you are in the position to hold these people accountable for their actions, or at least to change the direction the ship of state is sailing in. But we need a competent country. It's no good one or two people being competent. It's no good a handful of people being competent. We need to have a whole country who is competent enough to know where the government sits in the food chain. Because if the people don't know this, then they are submitting to being governed. That's how democracy works, folks. And unfortunately, what we see at the moment is that it is the will of the vast majority of people within our society to be governed, because they are simply not competent enough to govern themselves, because they choose never to establish their competency. They choose never to look at the system for what it is. They choose never to be a true human being, to never be part of mankind, but to always be subservient to a system. Because it's all choice, folks. The whole participation in this fake reality that's been set up by our governing bodies is simply a matter of choice. So what do you choose? And look, it isn't like you've got to go and do some sort of a course to establish your freedom or to establish your competency or anything, folks. because it's all just common sense. It's all just common sense. Even under their ecclesiastic legal system, it says that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth, and you can just start from there. I mean, the rest of it is just common sense, folks. But you have to know this, and you have to know who and what you are, and realize that that's all the government are a group of public trustees. They're servants, they're in breach of trust, and they're getting away with it because we're not doing anything about it. And that's how we change things, folks. That's where the evolution of consciousness comes from. Because for consciousness to evolve, for any type of ascension or whatever you want to call it to happen, whatever you're out there waiting for, you have to participate. And in order to participate in an evolution of consciousness, you first have to know what consciousness is, and you will never find out what true consciousness is until you understand what you are. Take responsibility for the mind-body reality that you are in. Don't allow yourself to continue in the system of fear-based mind control that this society is. Step away from it by knowing who and what you are, and lead by example in all that you do. Lead by example within your community. Always treat the people around you with the respect that you would like to have bestowed upon you. Always give other people's perspective the validity that you would like your perspective to be given. Always treat other people as yourself, and when you communicate with other people and when you treat with other people in your reality, always treat and communicate with the essence, the spark, the sentient life that is that person. Communicate to them through your heart. Words work wonders, absolutely. We've got to use these things because of the reality we live in. But always communicate with your heart as well. Let your intuition know the person. Let your intuition tell you about the person. Listen to the energy field that they generate. Read the energy field that they generate. And always know what your intention is when you're dealing with these people and treating with these people. Always make sure your intentions are pure, and always, always speak to the essence of the person, not to their role, not to their office, not to their uniform. Always treat with the man or the woman. Just keep it real, folks. Just keep it real. Now, we have a really wonderful reality here, and we have a really wonderful species. We have birds out there in the sky. We have rain, we have clouds, we have a beautiful, beautiful world, and we have so much potential. But in order to achieve any of what we are capable of, we have to know first what our individual potential is, and we have to step into that. And that's why all your dealings with these people and all your dealings with government need to be looked at from a perspective of trust. Because it isn't until people begin to remember who and what they are that we're ever going to change anything. And so you've got to be treating people with respect, because that's what trust is as well. Trust is very much about honor, and it's very much about respect. And that's why I don't wish to hurt those people who've wronged me. That's why I don't seek revenge against these people. All I seek is my freedom and freedom for those around me. All I seek to do is to change the direction that the ship of state is sailing in, change the direction that human consciousness is being led, because I believe it's a very, very simple thing to do if people simply participate in the reality around them. If people start understanding that it is a mind-body reality they're experiencing, and they have to participate in that mind-body reality. There are too many people focused on what comes after. Too many people focused on the afterlife, focused on ascension, focused on all of these things, when what we need is conscious evolution. And all conscious evolution is, at this stage, is for people to free their mind from the matrix, to free their mind from the control system that has given them the perspective of reality that they currently have. Because we have a wonderful world here, and As a species, with the abilities that we have and the cognitive functions that we have so much potential to do incredibly wondrous things. But we're being led away from our potential, and we're being led away from any future by a system that is in place that we give power to because we believe it's real. As I said earlier, it's a system which is based entirely upon economic growth and placing economic value on everything. And supporting this economic system can only lead to the complete discarding of all life on this planet and the total exploitation of every resource this planet has. We need to wake up to this. We need to wake up and see what we're doing. We need to wake up and have a look at what we're actually swimming in. Because it is only the people who have the ability to change it. And this will only occur once people begin to realize the power that they have and to realize that what is raping the planet and discarding humankind is the system itself. And it only functions, it's only able to function because of the energy that it gathers from the people, simply due to people's belief that the system is real. So therefore, it's very, very easy to fix the problems that we face. All people have to do is change their perspective. Admittedly, it can be a great challenge for people because once they do step back and view the world a little bit more holistically and see the way it's actually being run, it can come as an enormous shock to the system because people suddenly realize that everything that they thought was true about reality has actually been false. And that can be somewhat confronting to people. But the thing is that once these people are awake, once you are awake, once you are aware of the existence of the system, once you are aware of the existence of the meme that enslaves the human mind, then it becomes so obvious to see, and it becomes virtually impossible for one to go back to sleep. It truly is like taking the red pill. But then once the surprise is gone and then the fear is gone and you begin to look a little deeper, you begin to see how simple the solutions to dealing with this problem actually are. Because once you can look at yourself from the perspective of creation and consciousness, and you can look at the legal system from a perspective of trust, then the answers become clear and the action that you need to take becomes clear. And the first step is to know who and what you are. Because once you know who and what you are, you simply have to apply that to the world around you. And that is how we affect positive change. And this has to be done by the individual. There is no movement that can be done to suddenly empower the world. The world has to empower itself. And this has to start with the individual. And it all comes from changing your perspective of reality. Well, that's about it for me for the day, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Thank you very much to all the listeners who continue to listen to the show. Thank you to anybody who's ever shown any support to thecrowhouse.com. Your donations are very, very much appreciated. I wish I could answer the people personally, but I simply don't have time to do so. But it is very much appreciated, so thank you to anybody who has ever helped out. And to anybody who has helped to spread the message contained within these radio shows. And again, folks, if you listen to my shows on YouTube, please be aware that YouTube has deleted around 2,500 subscribers from my channel over the last week or so. So please do check your subscription on YouTube. But that is it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time now, so I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In Lakesh.